Howdy folks, this is The Good Speaking. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure to like and subscribe to our podcast and follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and TikTok. Enjoy the gold.
Fight. Welcome back, contestants, to The Good, the Bad, and the Boys Bloodbath.
Contest tournament of all the otherworldly contests. God damn it. We're your hosts.
Here we go. Shitty jokes and hosts. Shitty
jokes at 9 a.m. in the morning. Oh, great.
I'm Taryn.
I'm Isaac.
And welcome back. And we're talking about Mortal Kombat today.
Mortal Kombat.
This is the new one. The 2021's Mortal Kombat.
Just released last month in April. So it's fairly new. It's alive and well.
And this is the latest from Simon McQuaid.
Simon McQuaid, yes. I think this is his breakout directorial.
He's previously known for commercials.
Yes, it's kind of like the director for Greatest Showman. I think he was more of a commercial man, and then finally had his little opportunity with Greatest Showman. That's why it's very colorful and pristine. Got that commercial vibes.
That commercial vibe. That glossy.
Mortal Kombat. No, this is not commercial.
That's probably why the cutaways in this movie are so jarring, because it's a martial arts film, and it's shot like a diarrhea pill commercial.
Got him. Fatality.
I would say, I guess, it didn't go too far under what I expected it to, in terms of quality for a movie based off of a fighting game.
Yeah, for film adaptation on freaking gory, crazy, extra Mortal Kombat. Not bad. Not bad at all.
Not as bad as it could have been, for sure.
Not as bad as it could have been. As we've seen in the past with Annihilation, compared to what we're diving in this week with Monster Hunter on Thursday.
Video game movies are hard to do. What would you say your favorite
one
is?
And hard to get right.
That's been made.
It's not a movie, but Castlevania is just
Castlevania is good
film adaptation.
So is the Witcher.
The boys have stated over and over again.
Yeah.
Oh, The Witcher, which I still need to see that series.
The Witcher is pretty good. Henry Cavill, that one's on Netflix. But I don't know. That is also television. They have hours of extra time to work with sort of bring that in.
Right, to perfect it, flesh out what you need.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, these movies don't get that time, and it suffers
for it.
And I don't know. Yeah, I'm trying to think of a good movie. It's not a TV show, but honestly, I don't think there really is one that I'd enjoy.
I haven't seen the new Sonic, but I hear that one's pretty good just because it knows what it is.
It does. I walked out halfway through. I was like, I don't know if I should waste my time with this movie. I just walked out.
Oh, man. Maybe the internet just had a better taste for Sonic, because they sort of helped bully that version of Sonic into existence.
That's true. They did listen to us, so might as well go see their movies.
Yeah.
But, I don't know.
Mortal Kombat?
I don't think I could sit through all that.
Mortal Kombat. Are you a fan of Mortal Kombat? You like the games?
Not particular. I'm not a 2D fighter kind of guy, but my brother has played it many times. He's currently invested in the MK11
or
whatever, and it's got the Injustice quality graphics and storytelling and stuff, and it's really cool. Yeah, and man, they don't hold back in these games with some of the brutality of it.
Yes.
Fatality of it all.
The staple of Mortal Kombat.
Yes. It's pretty gruesome.
And
these newer games are no exception.
Oh, yeah, so, I bet.
I've seen some things, man. I've seen some
things. These are the games that back in the 90s and early 2000s, if you were on some boomer newsletter talking about how video games are going to turn your kid into a jihadi. Mortal Kombat was most likely on the cover page, the title page. Mortal Kombat
had to have been like top five at least at the time.
I like the countercultural elements of it, where the more people say this game cannot be allowed to exist because it's too violent, the more violent they make it, and then it just keeps selling better.
Yep, it really does.
It's become a selling point, really.
Yeah, it is. And like this new stuff, just watching my brother play it, I'm like, Jesus Christ. Wow, all right. Yep. Just keep it up.
Keep it up. Doing great. They get extra with it. It's not just, you know, back in the day, you rip someone's heart out. No, it is egregiously extra now. Now, what is it? We got the guy whose hat is a saw. And
a saw.
Throw it into the ground, turn it on, and then surf someone into the saw, and they get cut in half. And you see, like, cowabungas over. It's just ridiculous shit like that. So extra, unnecessary violence.
Yeah.
Egregious amounts of it. And the fans love it. That is everyone's favorite part of Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
Unless you're weird enough to actually like fighting games, in which case, I guess it could be the fighting. But we're not, so fatality. I would say that as a movie, the MK movie is definitely made for fans of the game. I feel like they would enjoy it much more. I don't know. I've played it a few times, but I don't really know the Mortal Kombat lore that well. As someone who does it, the movie makes no sense. It is.
Yeah, me neither. I'm not familiar with the characters or the lore behind it or the different realms, the different story beats. I'm not familiar.
No idea.
I didn't really pay attention too much with my brother's gameplay, but
you're just traumatized by the violence.
Like,
no, my little brother's gonna become a jihadi now.
Yeah,
he likes Mortal Kombat.
I'll go upstairs, go pray for my brother.
And pray for my brother.
No, but yeah, no. I think this movie kind of explained it a little bit better. I looked back on the plot for the original Mortal Kombat. Yeah, they follow the same beats pretty well in this. You know, there's the invader Shao Tsung, the soul eater, the person that can take your personality and your powers.
Yes.
And whatnot. Yeah, so he's got like his whole tournament and stuff. I guess he's had dominion over Earthrealm for a bit, for 500 years with his with Goro, that like four-armed creature.
Mm.
That's like the undefeated champion or whatever. And so it's up to this new band of combat fighters, you know, to try to defeat Goro, his undefeated champion, and ultimately Shao Tsung himself.
Mm.
I hope I'm saying that right. Am I saying his name right?
dude, this is the fucking Good, the Bad, and the Boys podcast. However we say
Shang Tsung
is right.
Excuse me, Shang Tsung. It's not Shao Tsung. Shang Tsung. Sorry, Mortal Kombat fans. But yes, so yeah, it follows the same story beats. So, and I feel like this movie kind of helped me understand what the heck is going on and why things happen in these games that I've seen other people play.
Mm.
So not bad. So it's paying homage to a lot of Mortal Kombat plots and beats.
Okay.
You know, with the whole Kano thing and Sonya Blade and Jax, that's definitely their banter together. They're always after Kano.
Kano, that little memer.
Yeah, the best part of the whole movie.
Definitely the best part of the movie was whoever was playing Kano understands the assignment. Yeah. That would be Josh Lawson.
Josh Lawson, yep. Praise be.
Praise be. yeah.
He was just saying what everyone was thinking and memeing around.
He did. It was great. And I like that in this. So that was probably my favorite part of the previous one, was that it was pretty memey. The OG.
I've only seen clips of that. I haven't seen the entirety of the Annihilation from Bookend.
Hmm.
I still need to do that.
It's a meme show. It has.
I think you have to at least watch Annihilation once in your life.
It has the tone and aesthetic of like the 90s Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movies.
Oh, okay.
If you like those, you'll.
So it's like that, like camera zoom in while they pose and stuff. Oh, it's like, yeah. Power Rangers vibes.
It's yeah. Pretty cheesy. So if you like those movies, you'll probably like that one. This movie, I don't know what the tone of this movie is, because it starts out as it almost hints at a more serious movie. It, like, there is one happening, but it just wasn't in the budget or something.
Yeah.
Between Scorpion and Sub-Zero, those are kind of the flagship Mortal Kombat characters. When you think Mortal Kombat, you think the dude with the little knife with the chain on it, and he throws it in someone else. Yep. He's like, get over here. He pulls him in. That's your boy Scorpion. Signature. And his legendary beef with Sub-Zero, who does icicles. That's his thing.
Yep. It's cool contrast, cool duality between the two. It's ice, fire, and ice. You know, they're, it's good
on,
duality.
They're on all the promos. They're in the first 10 minutes of the movie together. Every trailer and poster had the Scorpion line. And then Scorpion's in maybe like 10 minutes of this movie. Scorpion is not in this movie at all. He's everyone's favorite.
It's the nice epic finale, and that's about it. That's so true. Even though it's like plastered all the posters here and all.
Oh yeah, Scorpion,
like, get over here, April 6th.
Get over to the movies.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Yeah, no Scorpion until the last minute.
But going through the plot of this weird movie, we have, it starts out in feudal Japan. You're like, okay, this is a martial arts movie. That'll be cool.
Yeah.
Where we see Scorpion living peacefully on the homestead. He's living that Galen Erso life. He's a retired killing machine. And then assassins come.
It's a peaceful
come.
Life.
They kill his family. They're headed by Sub-Zero. Scorpion and Sub-Zero have a fight. And Scorpion dies and goes to hell. And then all of a sudden, a guy comes out of some lightning and steals his baby and then leaves. And then we get to the... And the Monster Hunter does the same thing. I don't know why they do this. If this is, we could discuss as to whether or not this is a detriment or an attempted benefit to the movie. That it starts out in like the weird, whatever video game concept tone that it has. And then we backtrack a lot and we go into regular human world and focus on regular human character. And then have to build
every
our
time.
Way back into the weird.
Yeah, I feel like that's not just video game adaptation. That's like any type of movie that the main characters are not the focus. Like even Transformers, I feel like.
Yeah, Transformers starts out with Cybertron shit. What else comes to mind?
Bumblebee, you know, starts out with the whole Cybertron shit. And then you go right back into the 80s, like human element stuff. And you're like, oh, I want more Cybertron.
Okay.
I don't know.
The Dark Tower, like the Stephen King one, where it's all like weird.
Yeah, Dark Tower.
I see gunslinger shit and then little 10-year-old asshole.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the worst storytelling. It's just overused. I mean, I don't think it's a bad way to tell your story. Like, you want to let them know the exposition and what's happening, what's the grander scale of things. And then you go down to your hero's journey character and see how they fit all into all of it and how they go about with it. So it's not the worst, but it certainly is overused here in Hollywood. Yeah, Mortal Kombat, Monster Hunter, no exception. Do the same shit.
Do you think that they benefit from the main character being excluded? Like, I don't know. I feel like it's kind of fourth wall breaking that there's like whatever the actual plot of the movie is, and then we come out of it and we go, ha, just kidding. This is some like weird, wacky world that has no stakes in the actual world. Here's your main character, regular guy. Because a lot of these, the original content that's being pulled from, they don't have that. Like the Monster Hunter one, there's no like regular world outside of it. They're all just people living in Monster Hunter world.
Yeah.
And then same thing with Mortal Kombat, you know, dragging Joe fucking Schmo off the street to partake in Mortal Kombat. Then they explain it by like their weird eugenics thing. You gotta have this special,
like this weird.
You gotta be born special, built different if you want to get in.
Yeah, have to bear the birthmark.
So, do you think that helps? You know, having that sort of plot device, or would these movies maybe be better if it took more of like a Guardians of the Galaxy route, where it just sort of accepts its odd premises and settings and stuff, and just treats that as like the norm? Just all in.
Yeah, maybe not for Mortal Kombat, because Mortal Kombat, you still have Earthrealm. It's still a threat to our own existence, and you know, Outer World and Savage World can still take over.
There's more than two worlds.
I don't know. You kind of need to. Oh yeah, there's multiple realms.
What the fuck? I only know the two in the movie. The movie moves it like...
Yeah, the movie... Well, there's like Outer World, and then I think, you know, they did the whole DC versus Mortal Kombat, so the DC universe also gets mixed in there. So,
what?
So yeah, there's a bunch of worlds and a bunch of combat contestants throughout each one that I think, yeah, they... I think if your world wins, your contest of champions wins for your world, they get to have like dominion or over the other ones, or I don't know, something like that. Yeah, so I think the Outer World, Shang Tsung wanted to invade the Earth realm, and which in the first Mortal Kombat game he certainly does.
Mm.
But I think the contest happens every so often where new contestants, new people, new chosen ones with their birthmark get chosen
and defend. They're superior. I mean, don't quote genes. Me on this.
I don't. I've not. Yeah, they're superior combat genes. But yes, don't quote me on it though, because I've never played. This series really.
I've
only played a couple matches and that's about it.
That's more,
but yeah, deep lore. I think that's really the premise of it
in the entire movie.
Yeah.
That brings me to a question about the movie where all of that was kind of explained, where the villain, he needs to win Mortal Kombat so that for the whatever like 10th year in a row he's done it, and then he's allowed to invade Earth. First of all, these rules make no sense. Second of all, they only follow the ones that they choose. Shang Tsung, he says he needs to win this Mortal Kombat so he can invade the Earth world, but he's like already invading the Earth world so that he could kill off the champions so that they have no one to face them in the Mortal Kombat. And the other god, Raiden, the god from Earth, he's like, that's not cool, bro. You can't do that. The old gods wouldn't like it. He's like, the old gods aren't here. We can do literally whatever we want. And if that is the case, then why doesn't he just invade Earth realm? Why did it do all the Game of Thrones shit before the contest, of which we never see? We never see them actually
which
do
we've never seen.
Mortal Kombat.
Because that's their whole sequel idea, you know. They're gonna reboot this franchise. You gotta set it up.
Oh yeah,
for the ultimate Justice League Mortal Kombat.
Oh, Justice. I mean this Avengers movie had more setup.
Contest of Champions.
This franchise had more setup than DC gave Justice
League. Honestly. Yeah, I think you're right. The rules are kind of out the window. Also, like, does he even know the status of the old gods? If he tries to do it, what if they just intervene? They're like, "Nah, we're still here, bro. You've broke the rules. I have to punish you now." Outer World is banished for the tournament for whatever some years or something. It's like, you really want to play God here?
Banned from the games for steroid use.
Yeah, banned from the game. You're right. I'm sure there's lore behind the Mortal Kombat. I'm sure they go into who the overlords and who created this whole nightmare, gore-inducing savagery.
Honestly, it was probably like boomer moms who just kept whining about it. And they're like, you know what? Make it bloodier. It's like the...
make it bloodier.
The advertisements for, you remember the Dead Space games?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Their
Dead
whole Space. Marketing campaign.
Isaac, I think his name's Isaac.
Yes, his name is Isaac. The whole marketing was just, your mother will hate this game. And then just,
really?
That was the whole marketing. Oh, no. I think it was for the second one. I remember being like 10 and the commercial coming on. It's like, your mother will hate this game. It's just a bunch of like creepy alien violence. And then it'll pan over to the lady playing the actor. She's like, I hate this game. And then over like her 18-year-old kids are like, yeah! Woo! Dead Space!
It's like an early 2000s, like 90s
it is
commercial.
Very right early there. 2000s commercial. I loved it. I think my mom actually saw one of these commercials and was like, I don't think I would like that game. Yeah.
Because the actor mom told.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
It would just cut back and forth between
that's the whole
that
point, Sergeant.
And just gratuitous violence. And I think that's kind of the vibe that the Mortal Kombat games have taken on now.
Oh yeah. They just don't care. The filter is gone.
It's gone. Who needs it?
There's no returning.
Yeah, they've passed the point of no return. No one's gonna play Mortal Kombat if it's not gratuitously violent now.
No. It just won't sell.
They just won't sell, yeah.
They already set the bar so high.
If I, a regular not violent human being, can't boot up the old Xbox and rip someone's spine out and then stuff some C4 in the hole and then blow them up, and then while their head is still in the air, shoot it a bunch of times like a cowboy, shooting at like some
do
money.
Do a front flip and just kick it.
Yeah,
like
do a front flip
ball.
And then kick it as it's falling down, and it flies back into the hole previously made, and then the body falls over again. That no one's just gonna want to play it. That's just
I think
we have standards.
I think exactly how you just described that. I'm pretty sure that's how they. That's pretty much the Mortal Kombat creative team.
They got
what if we took the body and we
you know their you know whiteboard room is just they're just like cocaine and then they're like, okay, what if
they probably have like this crash doll dummy just to like to see how they can just morph this.
Those little like
what other gruesome ways.
The gelatin ones that they use for like ballistics training. They just got that. They're like, okay, and then we scoop out his spleen and feed it to him. It's exactly like that.
I want
to
be in those storyboarding.
I
want to
be in that room.
I
want
to be there. I want to be in that room. I just want to listen, see what the hell they're talking about.
I could see the show Mindhunter being about that. Like the guy's not actually a detective. He's not actually like a what's it called? Like a criminal analyst. I don't think that's the right name. A profiler. He's not actually a profiler. He's just secretly works on the Mortal Kombat team. And he's like, okay, okay, you convicted serial killer. If you could kill someone in any way you wanted, how would you do it? And they'd be like, And he just writes it down, puts it in a game. And in which case, I think the boomer moms are right, because then this really is making us serial killers. It was made by serial killers.
I guess so.
The boys can always come up with some fun theories, but you know we're talking about them after the fact. So,
right.
What did this movie deliver on for you? What did you like about it the most?
I think the action, not bad. You know, you're there to watch the action. You don't care about story really, or I mean, when you put on a Mortal Kombat game, you're not there to go through a campaign. You're there to fight.
Yeah,
have action. And, I mean, the story is super surface level. Sung wants to invade Earthrealm, and that's really all that is established. And then you have, like, the little side subplot with Scorpion and Sub-Zero, which is one of the coolest.
We cut the 10 minutes worth of the better plot going on.
Yeah, it was only 10 minutes worth. Yeah, you know, you're right. But that's probably one of the best moments there is between them. Yeah, I think the action is great, and it does emulate some of those fatalities and whatnot. You know, the guy with the hat, his name?
Kung Lao.
He has his own fatality. Kung Lao, yeah. He does the same fatality. I've seen it in this new MK11. So I was not surprised when that happened.
Yes.
I was like, oh, yeah, that's his fatality.
When he surfs the harpy
into his
saw hat. And he gets
yes.
Doesn't he even the game is so fan servicey, is beyond cringe, but you can't help but kind of like it. After he does it, he puts his hat back on, like a Redditor puts on a fedora, and he's like, flawless victory.
Flawless victory. I liked it. You know, those subtle nods to the game.
Subtle.
I don't know. They weren't, well, I guess they weren't subtle, but I don't know. They kind of fit. I didn't cringe at it. I thought it was fine. I was like, okay, cool. Nice. Me being a normie Mortal Kombat.
Hey, that's in the game. I know that one.
Yep.
We're just like, we need the not so subtle ones. Maybe there were probably so many more subtle ones. I know I saw one. It was the fans of one character. They were sort of on display, but I recognize it. It's one of the girls that fights with like the fans. I forget what her name is, but I saw those fans in there. All the not so subtle nods. I felt like Steve Rogers in the first Avengers movie. He's like, hey, I understood that reference.
I understood that reference. Yes, that was my entire experience.
That was
for Mortal Kombat. Honestly, I didn't mind it. It didn't take me out. Just maybe because I'm not used to hearing a normal person say those things. The flawless victory.
Flawless victory.
Modulated, low voiced Mortal Kombat announcer.
The announcer voice.
Thought it was fine. It wasn't the worst. I think, too, I was really expecting the dialogue to be very cringy and very stupid. But honestly, I wasn't. It was pretty competent.
I would say that varies from character to character. In some characters, definitely, it's really well done. I don't know, you know, the individual characters well enough to say, you know, if it's it's accurate or not, or if it's decent. I think Sonya Blade's dialogue takes the script more seriously than anyone else's. And so that would sometimes come off a little cringe, all the very serious exposition. I like Jax's, the first time he fights Sub-Zero, Jax, the guy with the metal arms, before he gets him. This, like, icicle ninja just has obliterated a block and everything. And then it walks up to him, and he gets one punch off, and he goes, three tours, motherfucker. And that's all the Jax backstory you're going to get, is three tours, motherfucker. Yeah,
that's about it.
And then now he's
three tours.
Now that's how you know he's a fighting champ. But he's not. He gets his arms ripped off, which is tough. But three tours, motherfucker.
I know. And then he gets, like, crashed through, like, you know, some concrete, some cinder block.
That guy's dead.
He's still alive in the next scene. Yeah.
There's no way that guy's alive.
But, like, yeah, sure, his arms are, like, completely ripped off. But what about his face? Shouldn't his face be all jacked up when he's sitting in the middle? Because he literally, his face landed.
He did.
And crashed through cement. I mean.
He fell, like.
What the fuck?
What is it? 15 feet and then just head first onto, like, a cinder block.
Head first.
And then fell another 20 feet.
He got Batmaned. He got Zack Snyder Batmaned onto the wall.
He got.
And then he was fine.
Yeah, and then they see him. We see him next, and he just has, like, little stubby arms, and that's it. Head's totally fine. So, yeah, like, Jax, Sonya Blade, sometimes the dialogue's a little meh. We got to talk about our king, though, Kano.
Oh, Kano.
Kano was perfect in this movie.
He really was.
Kano understood the assignment. He is exactly.
I was waiting. I was always looking forward to what he had to say. I was like, bring it to us, Kano.
Kano, yes. He's the mercenary who gets the laser eye, and he's just he knows what he's in. He knows what kind of movie this is, and that's exactly the kind of tone I was looking for in the Mortal Kombat movie.
Yep.
I'd say this movie it falls in, like, the middle ground of what we want. It started out pretty serious. As, like, Scorpion's revenge story, that's his whole thing, that's what it's all about, you know. But then we don't see Scorpion again until the end of the movie. We end up on, like, his shitty little great-great-great-grandson or whatever. It's like an MMA fighter.
Yeah, Cole. Which is a, Cole Young, which is a brand new character for this movie.
Oh, a new one.
It does not appear, I don't think, in any other Mortal Kombat things he's made directly for this movie. But, you know. Not to try to rehash everything, so you introduce more characters. Not a bad play, not a bad decision, I guess.
Mm.
But I don't know. His powers were kind of confusing.
He was just the most,
like, an absorbing man.
Boring, like, one by far. He was, like, absorbing man. He just, like, got some golden armor.
He's kind of like Kevin Bacon. Oh, shoot. What's his name? From the Hellfire Club and X-Men.
Oh, from X-Men First Class. Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, it's almost like he's absorbing things and transferring the energy.
And then he could just throw it back.
I want to say it's not Jason Weingart, but it's the other guy. I forget with the Hellfire Club. Ah.
Footloose Man.
That's what it reminded me of. I think that's what his powers were. He was, like, absorbing punches from Goru or whatever.
Yeah, he didn't care.
Yeah.
But that shit's boring. A guy who's good at getting his ass kicked, and if I had to watch the story of that guy versus Scorpion dragging his way out of hell for revenge, I know which one I'd prefer. And so there's the tone of, like,
we didn't get our choice.
Yeah, there's the tone of the Scorpion side, and then there's the tone all the way on the other end of, like, the Kano side. And I think I would have been more happy with either of those. They, like, picked a tone. But instead we end up kind of in the middle, focused on Cole.
Yeah, there's a clash.
Who's, like, the everyman.
Yeah.
And every character that's introduced, you don't know. You don't know who, you know, who's going to do what. There's Kung Lao and... What's his name? Is it Shao Long? The guy who does the bicycle kicks and throws the fireballs.
Oh, I think so, yeah, Shao Long.
Yeah. They're pretty jovial. The dialogue takes it seriously, but the actors, like, they kind of meme with it a little. They're on, like, that Kano level, riffing off each other.
Yeah, they are.
And then whoever's...
Yeah, that whole dinner scene was a whole meme fest.
A whole meme fest.
But yeah.
And then other ones, like, whoever's playing Raiden. Are taking it serious. Mm-hmm. And then I just don't know
very
what to
serious,
think.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't a serious movie.
I don't know. I think they were attempting to do, like, the whole Guardians where you had, like, the Ronin stuff, Kree shit going on, and then also you had the Guardians. So maybe they were trying to attempt to do that, but I don't know. It was a little jarring.
Got
to
franchise.
Yeah, got to franchise it. I don't know. But, Yeah, I don't think it worked well. I don't think it mixed well. Still a little off and jarring, but yeah, I, you know, all that contest championship, whatever. I was just kind of like meh about that storyline, but I, yeah, again, the Scorpion Sub-Zero plot.
The really movie great. Was also I loved the finale. Meh about that storyline because they never go yeah. to Mortal Kombat. It's all just like
just so stupid.
It's everyone collectively cheating. Because yeah, they all just go to each other's dimensions
right, they're all
and assassinate each other.
They don't know the rules.
No one cares yeah, about the rules. Know their own rules. What's the point?
Yeah, maybe they should have focused on more Sub-Zero and Scorpion rather than... And then maybe have like a subtle setup for the contest.
Yeah, the contest is a backdrop.
Where for the Cole beef. Young is kind of, I don't know, following in his ancestors' footsteps. And Sub-Zero is also on his tail and whatnot. And, which it was, I mean, that's what happened in this movie, but I think that probably should have just been the movie.
Yeah.
To be honest, but yeah, I don't know. But I loved the end fight, I thought, between Scorpion, Cole, and Sub-Zero was super cool. A lot of good action there.
That was definitely the fan-serviest fight. That was lit. I like all the other ones yeah. were like 30 seconds of fighting, and then the fatality. And yeah. this one was
yep.
this one a little more dragged.
The harpy went straight to fatality. That was...
Oh yeah, it didn't no even fight at all. That the how that harpy performed against the hat guy is exactly how I perform in game in any Mortal Kombat game, where I just get comboed to death. Same. I'm the guy who's yeah. like getting bicycle kicked.
Yeah. Oh, that reminds me of the one line where he's like, "Is that the only move you know?" I was like, "That's a funny reference." That,
yeah,
that is a funny.
Where they
reference.
Just trips him up.
Like, I understood that one.
Is that the only move yeah. you know?
Is that the only movie? No, he's just spamming.
Yeah, you could tell that it was made for the MK fans, and from what I've read, yeah. MK fans enjoyed this game or this movie infinitely more than not fans, which is to be expected with any video game movie. But I guess the measure of a good one is how close you can bridge that gap to bring more mm-hmm. more fans in, more people to enjoy yeah, it.
Agreed.
Like we talked about in the Castlevania episode. Where we didn't really play too many Castlevania games, just one. And we're like, hey, yeah. it's pretty good.
Yeah, I can't imagine being a diehard Castlevania fan and watching that Netflix series. I'm sure that was...
Oh, yeah, great time.
Mind blown. Mm. Yeah.
More references and details.
This movie really did it justice.
If you're a Mortal Kombat fan and this tickled your fancy, let us know. And let us know your thoughts on video game movies. Like the one on Thursday, Monster Hunter, you can send in your voice to the Good, the Bad, and the Boys now. Just send it to our email, thegoodthebadandtheboys@gmail.com. A little audio clip, 30 seconds or a minute or whatever of your thoughts. We'll throw it on here. We'll hear it. Your opinion is literally as good as ours. We have no qualifications for this.
Yeah, you know, the sequel, it's interesting. Sequel for this, I'm not sure if I will see it. Still was kind of a waste of time for me because I don't fully appreciate the games as much as other people do. But, you know, it was a good call with Warner Brothers. They had, you know, this all spawned from that short film, Mortal Kombat Rebirth.
Did it?
From Kevin Tancharion or something, who was selling the idea of a reboot franchise for Mortal Kombat.
Mm.
So that kind of spawned it, and it was really gritty, really dark. It had some, like, serial killer vibes. Of like who they were going after, Sonya and Jax.
Mm.
They had like different file cases. This kind of looked like Saw, but so I'm sure that's why they got James Wan to produce this. A little more horror elements, I guess, gore. So it was interesting. Although that's not really the movie we got in this
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I didn't get any horror vibes from this movie.
Yeah, there was no horror like Saw vibes. Definitely not. But that's what the short film kind of seemed like to me.
Mm. Okay, it's interesting. It's like they took the Deadpool route, where it was just sort of intentionally leaked a short film about it to see how many people would be interested. Yeah. And they're like, all right, we can make the movie.
That's pretty much what happened. Mm. It was kind of the same vibes. So we'll see. We'll see where this franchise goes. Where I think it made enough, just enough, and it's still out now. So
I think
it's past its budget.
It was
so
number one
sure
the week it came
spawn.
Out, right? Or
oh, yeah, number one, I think so, yeah.
Not like there's much competition. I think it got beat out a week later by what was it? Mm. It was like an anime movie.
Oh, the Demon Slayer.
Demon Slayer, yeah. I think when Demon Slayer came out, it beat out Mortal Kombat.
Oh, for sure, which is to be expected.
Yeah, it got
Demon Slayer's a really good
anime.
Is it? Weeb.
Weeb.
Yeah, I'll admit it.
So yeah, we'll see where this franchise goes.
Yeah, we'll see where it goes. Let us know if you've seen Mortal Kombat. If you played the games, how accurate is our interpretation of that? Probably not at all. If you didn't like it,
I'm sure my lore was completely off, so I apologize in advance.
No, we're professional lore masters. Our Mortal Kombat lore is above all. If you guys disagree with that,
it is.
Feel free to 1v1 Isaac in a Mortal Kombat game. If you win, you can keep the podcast.
Yep. You win the boys' realm.
You win the, boys, the boys' realm. Now that sounds like an anime.
All right, guys, you made it through our podcast.
Well, thanks for listening in. Now
you made it through this episode of Mortal Kombat.
Now that we're
Fatality.
On a watch, all right, on a watch list, we're gonna send it here. All right, thanks so much for tuning in.
Yes,
definitely come give us a listen Thursday, where we talk about Mila Jovovich in Monster Hunter, a video game movie came out last year, somehow worse than this. That's
a
right.
A movie this that is... will really give your brain cells a fatality.
Thank you. Goodbye forever.
'Howdy, y'all. This is Terran, a.k.a. The Bad. Thank you for tuning in to our new program. Don't forget to like and subscribe so you don't get dysentery. Now, everybody pretend that I rode off into the sunset. Bye now.